A single spark. Read. When the door opened an hour later, I knew immediately the time had come. Two huntsmen followed the first, shoulders rigid and balisardas drawn. Two more filed in after that. Another set, another. They kept coming until they filled the council room completely. Others waited in the corridor beyond, dozens of them. Though I scanned their faces in search of Jean-Luc, he wasn't there. Lou startled awake at the footsteps, her eyes still heavy with sleep.
What is...
She inhaled sharply as she took in the room, jerking upright. The chasseur nearest us dropped his eyes to the laces of her trousers. He barked a laugh. Swiftly, I twisted to block her from sight, pulling her to her feet. But she merely leaned around me and flashed a cat-like smile.
See something you like?
Despite her bravado, her eyes remained red-rimmed and puffy, overly bright. Her hand trembled against my arm. The huntsman's lip curled.
Hardly.
Sniggering, she surveyed his trousers pointedly, stepped around me to lace up her own with casual nonchalance.
I doubt that very much.
You little! He lunged for the bars, but when Lou met him there, moving with lethal speed, he changed his mind mid-step, pointing his balisarda at her face instead. He said,
You'll sing a different tune soon, witch. Your last word will be a scream.
She beckoned him closer.
Why don't you come in here and show me?
Lou?
Voice low in warning, I pulled at the back of her shirt. She yielded only a step. Around us, the chasseurs shadowed the movement, pressing closer.
Don't provoke them.
It's a bit late for that, I think.
That it is.
Philippe's deep rumble preceded him into the chamber. At his appearance, the chasseurs separated in two waves on either side. Lou's grin turned feral. Dressed in an impeccable suit of royal blue and gold, captain's medal shining on his lapel, he regarded her as a bug beneath his boot. Then he smiled coldly, bowed.
The sun has set,
madame. Your funeral pyre awaits.
Lou retreated another step. Her arm brushed mine. Though her smirk remained fixed in place, her gaze darted from the room to the corridor, from Philippe to his chasseurs. My heart pounded violently as I counted. A score of them in all. An entire squadron.
There are too many.
Lou gestured to the cage's door with a brittle laugh.
Good thing we have a choke point.
I glanced down at her. Her chest rose and fell in shallow breaths. My own limbs shook with adrenaline. A chasseur behind us sneered.
You have to come out eventually.
She whipped around to glare at him.
We really don't.
You'll starve.
Come now. His Majesty won't exhibit such patience. He decreed we would burn this evening.
Her grin widened.
It won't reflect well on him if this execution doesn't go to plan, will it? I imagine his denizens are already rather restless about the hellfire, rather frightened.
She addressed Philippe directly now.
It won't reflect well on you, either.
On sudden impulse, I added,
especially after my mother escaped.
Low murmurs broke out across the room at the allegation, and Philippe's face hardened. His expression said everything. Short-lived relief swept through me. They'd saved her. Coco and Jean-Luc and Celie. Somehow they'd saved my mother.
She was safe.
Lou practically cackled now, casting me an appreciative look from the corner of her eye.
She will be apprehended,
Philippe said tersely.
Make no mistake.
You need a win, Phil. You can't afford to wait. Lou waggled her fingers at him. I think you'll be coming in sooner rather than later.
A different chasseur, this one younger than the others, practically an initiate, wielded his balisarda like a crucifix.
You think your magic can harm us, witch?
I think, she said slowly, that it won't be terribly difficult to disarm you mon petit chou.
I believe you've all met my husband? She hooked her thumb at me. Youngest chasseur in the Brotherhood? Youngest captain, too.
He is no captain,
Philippe said darkly.
Lou arched a brow. Well, he did kick your ass.
I placed a hand on her shoulder, distinctly uncomfortable. Cold sweat trickled down my spine. When she glanced up at me, I shook my head, near indiscernible.
What are you doing?
I tried to ask. When she lifted said shoulder, so slight no one else could see, I had my answer.
She didn't know.
The bluster, the jeers, the threats, all desperate bids for time, for help, for anything. We'd run out of ideas.
Come on, Phil,
she coaxed, and at her words, the faint scent of magic enveloped me. The others smelled it, too. Some snarled and stiffened, knuckles tightening on their balisardas, and looked to Philippe for instruction. Others shifted uneasily. A few, however, studied Lou in fascination as her skin began to glow.
Open the door. Play with me.
Different words resounded in my head. Still her voice, but soft and scared.
Read.
I stared at her.
When they open the door,
she said, still watching Philippe.
Stay close to me. I can't harm them directly with magic, but I can bring this tower down on their heads. It's the best chance we have.
Then,
do you think Beau escaped too?
I didn't know, and I couldn't answer. Not as Philippe accepted a bow from the chasseur next to him, a quiver of blue-tipped arrows.
Not today,
he growled, notching one with expert precision. When he pointed it directly at Lou's face, her eyes narrowed. She no longer smiled.
As you've pointed out, I have little time for games. The kingdom awaits.
He loosed the arrow without warning. Before I could vault forward, before I could even shout, it shot toward her with unerring aim. She whirled at the last second, however, faster still, and dropped into a crouch as the shaft lodged into the wall behind us. The chasseurs there had already moved. They formed ranks on the front and sides of the cage, forming a sort of corral, a bullseye. More bows emerged around us, more arrows. I hurtled toward her, seizing her hand and dragging her to the back of the cage. I had to do something, now. Lou had spoken of magic, of willing golden cords into being. I focused on them now, on a shield, on a weapon, on a fucking key, anything to escape this cage. No patterns answered. Of course they didn't. I rolled sideways as Philippe launched a second arrow. Why bother with the stake? Snarling, Lou lifted her hand, and the bolt fractured midair. When it fell to our feet, I seized it, spearing a foolish chasseur who tried to creep behind. He fell like a stone, eyes rolling, limbs twitching. Lou stared at him in horror. What the? Philippe notched another arrow.
Hemlock.
This one nearly clipped my shoulder, so close it split the sleeve of my shirt. Lou's eyes blazed at the torn fabric. Her skin pulsed with unnatural light. When she stepped in front of me, her voice rang with deadly calm, ethereal calm, not a single voice, but many. They reverberated together in a chilling timbre.
You will not touch him.
Immune to the enchantment, Philippe motioned for the others to raise their bows, all 20 of them. Lou bared her teeth. At his sharp command, arrows hurtled from two sides, more than 20, more than 40. They cut through the air with lethal precision, but each turned to dust in a 3-foot radius around us. They simply disintegrated. I sensed the barrier in the air rather than saw it, a thin film, like the soap of a bubble, a shield. Lou's fists shook with the effort to maintain it as more arrows flew.
How do I help? Tell me, Lou! Pattern, she said through gritted teeth. You can strengthen my magic. How? Focus!
The air rained thick with arrows now, each chasseur notching and firing at different times, a constant onslaught. Lou winced at the strike. as if she could feel each poison tip, and the shield rippled in turn.
You are a witch! Accept it! Focus on the outcome, and the patterns will appear!
But they didn't. They weren't. No matter how hard I focused, no gold sparked. I focused harder. On her shield, on the arrow tips tearing it apart. A strange thrumming started in my ears. Voices, whispers, not mine or Lou's, but others. Still no gold surfaced, however, and I let out a roar of frustration, of rage.
You can do it, Reed, Lou said urgently. You've done it before. You can do it again. You just have to...
She didn't finish her words. Unnoticed, two chasseurs had succeeded where their fallen brother had not. Hands snaking between the bars, using her shield to their advantage, they seized Lou's shirt and wrenched her backward against the wood. Her shield vanished instantly. Shouting her name, I dove forward, prying one's arm from her neck, but sharp pain pierced my thigh. I didn't look. I couldn't. Not as they plunged a syringe, two syringes, three, into Lou's throat simultaneously. Not as her back bowed, her body thrashed, her hands reached for me.
Reed! Reed!
Her voice sounded as if from a tunnel. At last, she tore free, catching me as my knees gave out. The tower shook around us. Her body jolted from impact as she shielded me from arrow after arrow. More than one protruded from her back now, her arms, her legs. Still, she dragged me toward the cage's door, which Philippe had flung wide. Hands pulled at our clothing, our hair, flinging us to the council room floor. My vision faded as they descended on Lou like ants. As she collapsed, unmoving, under their syringes, they would kill her before she reached the stake.
Lou!
Clenching my teeth, delirious with pain, with fear, I focused on her dimming skin, harder than I'd focused on anything in my life, hard knees pressed into my back.
She'll die, she'll die, she'll die.
Gold exploded in my vision, and I to my feet. But it was too late. A quill stabbed into my neck, and the world went dark once more. I woke to shouts, to smoke, the scratch of hay at my feet and hard wood at my back, tight binds on my wrists, stomach lurching. I pried my eyes open. It took a moment for them to focus. My vision swam. Torches. They flickered in the darkness, casting an orange haze over the scene, over the faces, so many faces, the entire city pressed together in the street below. With a start, I realized I stood above them. No. I closed my eyes, pitching forward with a heave. The ropes kept me upright. They held me in place. I didn't stand at all. My eyes snapped open again at the realization. The stake. They'd tied me to the stake. Details rushed in quickly after that, disorienting my senses. The steps of the cathedral, the wooden platform, the warm presence at my back.
Lou,
the word slurred on my tongue from the hemlock. My head pounded. I struggled to crane my neck.
Lou.
Her hair spilled over my shoulder, and her head lolled. She didn't respond. Unconscious. I strained in earnest now, trying to see her, but my body refused to obey. Someone had removed the blue-tipped arrows, at least. They'd clothed her in a clean chemise. Anger fanned as quickly as the drug at that fresh injustice. A chasseur had undressed her. Why? I glanced down at my own simple shirt and woolen trousers. They'd removed my boots. Leather doesn't burn. Blue coats lined the streets, forming a barricade. They kept the crowd at bay. My eyes narrowed, and I blinked slowly, waiting for the scene to sharpen. Philippe stood among them. Jean-Luc, too. I recognized his black hair, his broad neck and bronze skin. He didn't look at me, his attention focused on Celie, who stood at the front of the crowd with her parents. No Coco, no Beau, no Claude, or Blaise, or Zena. No one.
Who?
Careful not to move my lips, to keep my voice quiet. I tried to nudge her with my elbow. My arms wouldn't move.
Can you hear me?
She might have stirred, just a little. More shouts sounded as a child broke free of the line. A little girl. She chased a ball. She chased a ball. It rolled to a stop at the base of the platform.
You aren't as tall as I thought you'd be,
she mused, peering up at me beneath auburn fringe. Familiar. My eyes fluttered. There were two of her now. No, another child had joined her. A pale boy with shadows in his eyes. He held her hand with a solemn expression. Though I'd never seen it before, I almost recognized his face.
Do not lose hope, monsieur,
he whispered. Another shout. A chasseur strode forward to shoo them away. My mouth couldn't properly form the words.
Do I know you?
Le visage de beaucoup,
he said, with an unnerving smile. It pitched and rolled with my vision, garish in the firelight.
Le visage d'aucun.
His voice faded as he trailed away. The face always seen. The face never remembered. Meaningless words, nonsensical ones.
Lou,
I pleaded, louder now, desperate.
Wake up! You have to wake up!
She didn't wake. Imperious laughter beside me. Golden patterns. No. Hair. Auguste stepped into my line of vision, a torch in one hand. The flames burned not orange, but black as pitch. Hellfire. Eternal fire.
You're awake. Good.
Behind him, Gaspard Fossi and Achille Altier climbed the platform, the former with an eager smile and the latter with a sickened expression. Achille glanced at me for only a second before murmuring something to Auguste, who scowled and muttered,
It matters not.
To me, Auguste added,
Your Belisarda's fruit may not have curbed this wretched fire. Not yet. But its wood certainly carried this momentous day.
He lifted his hand to catch a strand of Lou's hair.
We had the cage crafted just for the two of you. A bittersweet end, is it not? To be killed by your own blade?
When I said nothing, only stared at him, he shrugged and examined the torch.
Though I suppose it will not be the Balasarda to deliver the final blow. Perhaps I should be grateful the priests have failed. Now, you shall burn eternal.
As will your city,
I managed. The words cost me. Achille flinched and looked away as I choked on bile, coughed on smoke. He didn't intervene this time. He didn't say a word. How could he? The pyre had been built. He would burn next. With one last sneer, Auguste turned to address his kingdom.
My loving people,
he spread his arms wide, his smile wider. The crowd quieted instantly, rapt with attention.
Tonight, at last, we eradicate a great evil plaguing our kingdom. Behold, Louise LeBlanc, the new and nefarious La Dame de Sorcière, and its husband. The man you once knew is Captain Reed Diggory.
Boos and hisses reverberated from the street. Though I tried to summon my patterns, they shimmered in and out of focus in a golden blur. The hemlock had served its purpose. My stomach rolled. My hands refused to move, to even twitch. They'd coated the ropes.
Concentrate.
Yes, behold,
Auguste continued, quieter now. He lifted the torch to our faces.
A witch and a witch hunter. Fallen in love.
Another chuckle. Some in the crowd echoed it. Others did not.
I ask you this, dear subjects.
The torch moved to Achille now. illuminating his dark eyes. They simmered with revulsion as he stared at his king with rebellion.
Did it save the kingdom?
Their sweeping romance.
Did it unite us at last?
Now he gestured to the smoke overhead, the charred stone of the church, the blackened and broken buildings that littered the street. Chasseurs stood at every ruin, containing the flames.
No,
Auguste whispered, his gaze lingering on their blue coats.
I think not.
When he spoke again, his voice lifted to a shout.
Do not think I haven't heard your whispers. Do not think I haven't seen your doubt. Do not fear that the Peters and Judases among you, the forsakers and betrayers, will continue to roam free. They will not. Ours is a nation divided. We stand at the very precipice, but allow me to elucidate the truth here and now. We shall not fall.
He seized Lou's chin.
This witch, this she-devil, may resemble a woman. Your mother, perhaps. Your sister or daughter. It is not them, dear ones. It is not human at all, and it is certainly not capable of love. No, this demoness has cursed our kingdom with death and destruction. It has stolen your children and livelihoods, corrupted our once great and noble protector.
Dropping her chin, he turned to me, lip curling. I fought for sensation in my hands, any sensation. The golden patterns flickered.
Read Diggory.
He shook his head.
Traitor. Murderer. Witch. You are this kingdom's greatest disappointment.
Behind him, Achille rolled his eyes. I frowned at the incongruent gesture. The first needle of awareness pierced my palm as Lou's head lifted.
Who?
I whispered desperately. It fell once more.
Hear me and hear me well.
Auguste raised his arms, the torch, with wild passion in his gaze. The people watched with bated breath, following the torch's trajectory hungrily.
I shall not be deceived again, loving people. I have captured this great foe, and with their deaths we shall alight on a path of victory and salvation. I shall lead you through it. The Lyon legacy shall endure.
Great cries rose from the crowd at the last, evoked by Father Gaspard. They stomped their feet, clapped their hands, even as Philippe and his chasseurs exchanged cautious glances. Moonbeam hair flashed. Thrusting the torch toward Achille, Auguste said,
Do it, Father. Kill them. Kill these creatures you so pity, or you shall join them in hell.
Though Achille hesitated, he had no choice. His fingers curled slowly around the torch. My frown deepened. They looked straighter than I remembered. The skin younger, tawny, and smooth. When my gaze snapped to his face, his cheeks seemed to broaden, to move, the bones inching higher. His eyes lengthened, his nose, too. His grizzled beard fell out in pieces. His hair deepened and his skin. The wrinkles faded as he winked at me. Then he turned to the king.
You know, Père,
he drawled, the last of Father Achille's features melting with the words,
It's rich of you to speak of great disappointments.
Disgusted, Beau shook his head. I gaped at him.
Beau. But you were...
Mouth slack, Auguste raked his eyes over his son before his teeth snapped together audibly. A vein bulged in his forehead.
Magic!
The real Father Achille emerged from an alley behind the cathedral. Expression hard, he held the hand of the auburn-haired girl from earlier. With a cheery wave, Claude Devereaux stepped from behind and Coco. She grinned at me in triumph, blowing a kiss. The cut on her palm still bled. They'd come. Relief so keen I nearly laughed swept through me. Lou expelled a ragged breath.
Read.
The tingling in my palm spread to my fingers. The patterns began to sharpen.
I'm here, Lou. They're all here.
Sorry we're late, sister mine. Beau darted to her, careful of his torch, as the chasseurs surged forward, their shouts lost amidst the sudden mayhem. Philippe gestured wildly as those in the crowd fled, as they screamed, as they pulled children away or pressed closer to watch, shoving past the king's guard, the constabulary. One man even vaulted to the platform with a fierce, "Burn the king!" before Philippe caught his collar and threw him back to the ground.
"Maintain the line!" he roared.
When chasseurs charged the platform, Blaze materialized from beneath it, and Lyanna and Terence, Toulouse and Terry. The werewolves had half-changed, their eyes glowing and their canines lengthening. Dozens more spilled forth from the crowd to join them, snapping, snarling. Fully transformed wolves hurtled from every alley. They met the chasseurs' steel with claws and teeth. Beau tugged at Lou's ropes with one hand, hasty, clumsy.
Turns out Chasseur Tower is a bit of a fortress. Who knew?
We couldn't reach you there, but here... His rapid explanation broke off at Lou's moan, and his gaze dropped to the blood on her chemise, the punctures in her arms, her chest. His voice dripped with quiet menace.
What the hell happened to her?
Though my hands twitched and spasmed, I couldn't readily move them. Couldn't help. I strained to regain control.
Poisoned arrows! Hurry! You dare to choose them? Auguste hissed.
Another vein throbbed in his throat. He looked less handsome now, more deranged.
Over your own father?
Before Beau could answer, Philippe finally breached the platform and Auguste lunged. It happened in slow motion. Beau whirled to drive him back, sweeping the torch wide, and a single spark snapped into the air. It hung motionless for a second, for 1,000 seconds, before drifting almost lazily to the platform, to the hay. I could do nothing but watch, horrified, as we went up in flame.